If you left off last week, we were talking about some of the dinim that govern the parshiyos of tefillah. We mentioned that most of the dinim are the same for tefillah and for mezuzah, sefer Torah. One exception is the dinim shel kisidron. But in terms of the basic halachas of ksivas of parshiyos, so all the dinim are the same. There's another very, very important dinim that governs the parshiyos of tefillah, and that is the order of the parshiyos. So, we know that there are four parshiyos in tefillah. That was the Pesukim Chumash. The first speaks about this tefillah in four places. So the Teshuvah Peh explains to us that each one of those parshiyos have to make it into the tefillah. And the Gemara says in the third parak of Maseches Menachos that it's very, very important that the parshas be put in the right order. The question is, what is the right order? So you do have a first son, there was a major machlekes of Rishonim, had a Ripshat in the Gemara. So even though there are many, many Rishonim who were involved in this machlekes way before the days of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, it has become known to us as the machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Gaonim already were arguing about this, and the Rambam got involved, and everybody got involved in the Shaila, but since Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam appeared on the page in the Gemara, so it's an alingo we call it the machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So basically it boils down to that according to Rashi, the Seder Parshiyos are k'ksuvim b'Torah, the same way that they appear in the Chumash. So let's say if I was looking at a person and I would have X-ray vision, I was reading his tefillin, so I would read Kaddish first, read Hebrew from right to left. So I would read Kaddish first, then I would read Vayah Kiviyacha, then I would read Shema, then I would read Vayam Shema. The Rashi also way Bain for the tefillin Shayad, Bain for the tefillin Shorosh, that's the Kesedra k'ksuvim b'Torah. And Rabbeinu Tam had a whole different way of reading the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam says no, that it has to be Kadesh Vayach V'yacha, and then rather than Shema V'mishma, the order is flipped. It has to be Vayach V'mishma and Shema. The way to remember it is Makshin HaVayach L'Dodi. That means something totally different. The Gemara Makshin HaVayach L'Dodi is a din in Kiddush Kesef and Shtar. It's not doing anything. But Rishon used a quote in the phrase HaVayach L'Dodi, that the two HaVayach, the two Parshas V'Hoya, are next to one another. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's view, that the two Parshas have to be that have to be mamash next to one another. Rabbeinu Tam held that way, Bain and Tfil Shayyad, Bain and Tfil Shayyad, which raises a red flag. How are you going to do that exactly? So Bishlam and the Tfil and Shal Rosh, you can do that because the Tfil and Shal Rosh, each parasha is written separately, and the Tfil Shayyad is written in one long, long, long cloth. So the problem is that there's a din of Shalok Kisidron that you have to write the way it appears in the Chumash. So in terms of the order of how you're going to write the parashas, of course you have to write Lefi HaKosav B'Torah. So according to Rashi, it's very good. So you write Bein Parashas Shoriyah, Bein Parashas Shorosh. You start out with Kaddish, then you write V'yokav Yachli, follow the order of the Chumash, then you write Shema, then you Shema, everything's good to go. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the Hoyim Shemo has to precede Shema, but it can't be written before Shema, means in terms of what time of the day you write it, of course you have to write Shema first, because otherwise it's called Nichta Shloch Chesidron. It's a very mundane thing. So, but it's filled in Shirosh, not so mundane. So, you write a little piece of cloth, Kaddish, then you take another piece of cloth, V'akiviyacha, take another little piece of cloth, Shema, another little piece of cloth, V'yam Shemoa, and then when you place them, the parashas, into the bottom, you just put them in a way that V'yam Shemoa comes before Shema. But the Ksivas of parashas was Keseda Chosav Eterah. But when it's filled in Shayad, it's very, very strange, but it's filled in Shayad, it's all in one big parasha. It's all one big piece of cloth. So, you can have to do is as follows. You're going to have to start out by writing Kaddish, then you're going to write V'yokiv Yacha, then you're going to stop. You're going to skip a space, a big, big space, that's going to be big enough to fit V'yam Shema. You're going to jump all the way to the end of the cloth and write the Shema, and then you're going to come back and write V'yam Shema. Otherwise, you wrote them, Shalom, Kisei, Dixivasad. So it's a very, very mundane thing, but that's what the Rishonim meant. According to Ben Adam, it's a funny thing. That's what the film would have to be made. So how do we pass in the loch in this machlekes? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's machlekes. If you hold like Rashi and Ben Adam is for an apostle in the Torah, and vice versa, that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. So how do we pass in the loch? So even though this was a running machlekes in the days of the early Rishonim, the days of the Gaonim, by the days of the later Rishonim already, it was very nimnu v'gomer like Rashi. That all the later Rishonim assumed the loch like Rashi. And the Shulchan Aruch unequivocally paskins like Rashi, that's how we paskin Halacha L'maaseh. We do not accept if you ever made a tap. Those people who would only put on a made a tap and fill them as man as they would not be Yaisid Mitzvah's fill them in a Torah. So you already didn't. The government of the Pesach Halacha is like Shidus Rashi, like the Rama like Rashi, that's where we accept the Halacha. Nevertheless, the Rosh quotes from the Maram in Rittenberg that as an act of Midas Chasidus, we should try to be machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. To those who are very, very big chassidim, who like to be dumidus chassidus, so they should try to follow Rabbeinu Tam also. They should try to be chayshesh for Rabbeinu Tam. Not that we pass like Rabbeinu Tam, we pass like Rashi, but just as a Hindu, one should try to be yotzei Rabbeinu Tam as well. So there are two different ways of being yotzei Rabbeinu Tam. So the original way in the Rishonim was to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, because the tefillin in the days of Chazal were much, much smaller than the way the tefillin we make now. there's a certain shear of tefillin, it's very, very small. The shear, the size of a bias is very, very small. Nobody today makes, most people today don't make such tiny tefillin, because it's very, very hard for the sefer. It's a lot of pressure for the sefer to write small parshiyos, so he's not going to make such a good job. Therefore, we write much bigger parshiyos. They've had tefillin twice the size that they were in Chazal. So in the days of the of Chazal, the days of the Rishonim, when the tefillin were much, the days of the Gaim, the tefillin were much smaller. So then you're able to put on two batim at the same time. So you should put on both batim at the same time. Should we rashim in a dam? Should we have more vasachas? That's what the Rambam Ruthenberg writes. If that's let's say today kol hashitas, why don't you try to wear rashim in a dam at the same time? The later poskim write that if your tefillin are too big and you just practically can't do that, so then you put on Rashi's tefillin for davening. At the end of davening, you put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin and liyasas ace. But the original practice was actually to wear both. If you look at the coast of Rutsma, you see the old Temanim still walking around with two pairs of tefillin, so they're doing it like the old style. But most people today who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin don't wear them at the same time. There's no room on the head for both pairs of tefillin. Most people put it on later. The Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes this practice of the Maram Ruthenberg in the Rosh, to wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that not everybody should do this, only people who are muksa b'chassidus. Only people who follow other mitzvahs, chassidus, people who are really, really from people, they do all the other mitzvahs. They learn, they daven nicely, they do chesed a lot, they don't talk lashon hara, they do everything else they're supposed to do. So then, as a mitzvah chassidus, they should put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Those who are not muksav pechassidus, so it's not appropriate. They shouldn't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. It's a show off, it's a mechzei ki yuhara. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that statement of the Shulchan Aruch was only true in the old days when not everybody wore Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry wore it, so only the great Gedolim were wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So a regular guy on the streets can decide, he turns my mitzvah to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he shows like he's a big Baal Gaiva. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes, all the Hasidim today, where everyone's a chassid today. So all the Hasidim are wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin right and left, even people who are not Muksak b'chassidus. Muksak b'chassidus does mean, Yidav b'chassidus and Rabbi Shiva. Muksak b'chassidus means that you're a real, 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 real chassid, a real chassid, capital C. So comes the Aruch HaShulchan writes that since it's so kubal today to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, even the not big Hasidim are allowed to wear it. So yesh v'yesh, there's different opinions in Klai Yisrael today. So usually the people with the Hasidish event or chayishish, they put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin after davening without a bracha, liyasas eis, just to be yotz, that means chassidus. And those people who are not so chassidish, so they don't feel that they're muksav chassidus yet, they're still working on it, so they follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that yotz with rashis tefillin, belishim safek, you don't have to be worried, you don't have to be concerned, you're not wearing tefillin, kaftal amarach tefillin, we can assume that one is a yotz. So the evidence is, if you look in the Rishonim, there are actually other versions of the Hanachas HaPashas as well. That the two extreme shittas we quote are Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, but there are two others. There are some Rishonim who have the Parshas Legamrei backwards. That means instead of going from right to left, the Parshas are from left to right. So how come no one's chashish for that? So Reb Chaim said that we are chashish for that. Because whenever you're wearing tefillin, so then the din is... is that in theory you can wear the bias upside down. I mean, we always wear the back of the bias. That's where the mavarta, where the ritzua goes. So and then it gives, we always have the mavarta closer to our body, both in the shayat and shirah. Technically speaking, you don't have to. So in theory, you can flip it around, and the mavarta is the other direction. So then, so Reb Chaim said, so you're being yotzi the other shittas, just so you're tefillin upside down, you're tefillin backwards, but you're still being yotzi the other shittas. So that's Reb Chaim helped. So whatever it is, the bottom line is that nobody, to my knowledge, has any other pairs of tefillin. The most that people have, other Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and again, it's just a midas chassidus. Is there reason to believe that maybe both pairs are kosher? So in the simple reading of the Gemara, it doesn't appear that way, but not everyone agrees that the Aruch HaShulchan claims that he thinks that Mikra didn't really both kosher. He tries to show you why in the Sefer Kabbalah they speak about that, maybe in the Gemara, maybe you can figure it out, that there may be grounds to say that either one would be acceptable. But again, the simple in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, for sure, is that it's either one or the other. Mipaskin Alach HaRashi is the correct one, not Rabbeinu Tam. When we speak about tefillin, so obviously tefillin are made up of parshiyos, and they're made up of batu and ritzus as well. So let's try to talk a little bit about the dinim. We're still talking about the chefts. We didn't even start the mitzvah of tefillin yet. We're just talking about what makes up the chefts of tefillin. So the batim, there's a din that you have to have a bayis for the shayyan and shibayis shil rosh. Many of the halachas, most of the halachas are the same. They both have to be made from or behemoth tahir, and they both have to be square, etc. They both have mavartas, they both have tisuras. We'll talk about all these things. And they both have rituals connected to them. So a lot of aspects of halacha, they are identical, but there are a couple of important differences. So one of the important differences between the shayyan and the shorosh is how many compartments we have. So the shayyan is one compartment. Because the Torah says, that the tefillin shayyan has to be one oath, so therefore the bayis has to be one oath. The parshas are written on one big piece of cloth, and it's stuck into the one compartment, into the one box. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is described by the Torah as being the Tatafas Berenecha. So the Tatafas is Lashon 4. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva said that the word Tatafas is a combination of two words, Tat and Pas. Tat means two and Pas means two in different languages. So the Torah describes it as a Lashon 4. So you have to have four different compartments in your Tefillin Shel Rosh. So I might have thought that means is you take four separate pieces of animal skin and you put them on your head. So no, that's what the Gemara says. Menachas u'zikar menachot. It has to be zikar nechot. So now it's a strange thing. The Tefillin Shel Yad are very easy. It's one bias. It's bias because it's about inside, outside. So it's one bias legamrei. But Shel Rosh is a funny thing. It's a mother thing because on the one end it has to be four. It's got to be four separate compartments. On the other end, it's got to be zikar nechot. It's got to be from one piece. It's got to be from arechot. So how do you resolve those two things? So this was a big machlokes in the Rishonim. So many of the Rishonim say, which is the practice that most of us follow today, is that, of course, it has to be made from one piece of skin. That's like not negotiable. You have to take one big piece of animal skin, and you have to form it in such a way, in such a mold, that it now, everyone sees those molds of Tefillin Shel Rosh, Matan Shel Rosh. You have to mold it in such a way that it has four different openings, four different holes in it. But Bikaron, it's one piece of skin, it comes from one big, big, big animal. So only when you make Tefillin that way, have you fulfilled the two dinim. On the one hand, it's Zikar Nechot, because it comes physically from one piece of skin. And it's also Takvat, it's also four different Batim, because each bias has been separated and been carved out as a separate hollow opening. So that's what the way we make Tefillin Bizman Hazeh. That's how Rashi describes this, and Ram describes that's been the standard practice for how we make Tefillin. However, some of you should describe, and later post can describe, maybe another way to make Tefillin, to also fulfill both of these dinim. Let's say you take four different pieces of skin from four different animals, four different parts of the animal, four different animals, and you simply connect them together. So if you connect them together, even though they didn't come literally from one behemoth, they didn't come from the Or Echad, from one piece of skin, but lamaisa, they've been connected together. So once they're connected together, that's also called Or Echad. How would you connect it together? Multiple ways. You could sew it together, maybe you can glue it together. So there were different tefillin that were made over the years following that more lenient version of Or Echad. That Or Echad doesn't mean literally the same piece of same piece of skin. It could be made out of four pieces of skin, but it has to be connected with the chibur api alocha, and maybe the chibur could be done derech tefir, maybe it could be done derech devek. So today, almost nobody makes tefillin that way. I mean, they're very, very cheap, they're not high quality pairs of tefillin are still made that way, but the tefillin that most of us wear today, the higher quality tefillin, are all made orech and mamish. They're literally made from one piece of animal skin. A lot of posts came out issues with the other tefillin. The tefillin that were made from four different pieces of skin, they felt that who says that's called a chibur? Who says that tefir is a chibur? Who says dibur is a chibur? We're not sure that creates a chibur. So maybe that's something that one should avoid. Again, look at chila for us. So we 30, 40, 50 years ago, those tefillin were very common on the market. They were the less expensive pairs of tefillin. Today, you're buying a pair of tefillin for $1,000, so $59. You're spending on tefillin, you're getting orechad. You're getting much, much higher quality tefillin. They're all from the literally orechad. So that's one important difference between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, that Shel Rosh has to have these two things. It has to be orechad and dalid tatafos, and Shel Yad obviously is only one entity. There's another important difference, and that's concerning the letter Shin. The Gemara says that there is a halacha Moshe de Sinai that you have to put a shin on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So it's interesting because we're all familiar with the practice that there are two shins. There's one shin that's made up of three heads and one shin that's made up of four heads. So that doesn't say in the Gemara. There's no makor in Shas for that practice that it has to be two different shins and each one is formed differently. It's based on a Shibusha Rabba. Shibusha Rabba was a sefer written in the days of the Goinim about Hichus Tefillin. So many of the practices are just a technical, something like a guidebook, how to make tefillin. So in the Shibusha Rabba, that idea is quoted, that you have to have two shins, and one shin has to be a three-headed shin, and one shin has to be a four-headed shin. So the post can assume it's ma'akab b'diyeh, but even though one could argue, it doesn't say in the Gemara. The Gemara just says, shin shel tefillin loch moshu v'sinai. It doesn't say anything about threes and four heads. So again, it's hard to understand, but that's the deal. The Ma'ase said that the tefillin have to be made with the proper shin. That din of shin shel tefillin, halacha moshe mizin, is only on the Shel Rosh. It does not apply, obviously, to the Shel Yad. When we speak about the shin shel tefillin, so what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that you have to do a maisa ksiva of a shin, or is it enough just to have, as long as it's a shin present, that's good enough? My nafkamina, it's a big nafkamina. Can you form that shin through chak toichas? So remember last week we spoke about whenever the halacha requires ksiva, maisa v'torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, get, etc. So you have to actively form the letters. You can't push back a background. You can't erase ink and then have the letter form by itself. That's called chak toiches. So there was a big machlokes in the Rishonim. This din that shin shel tefillin loch moshe mizinai, does that mean that you need a maisik sivas hashin, Well, no, you don't need a ma'asik sefer shin. Shin has to be there. It doesn't matter how it came about. As long as the shin is there, it's good enough. Might not be a tremendous stuff. Can you use like a mold? Can you just stick the bias when it's wet, stick it into a mold that pushes back the rest of the bias, and now the male shin comes into existence. So I didn't form the shin. I didn't write the shin. I didn't draw the shin. I didn't pull out the shin. I just pushed back the rest of the bias, and thereby the shin now exists. So many Rishonim say that's okay. So we Paskei Mikra did that would be okay, but not everyone agrees. And some Rishonim will say, no, you have to mamash draw it out, literally pull it out. How do you pull it out? With tweezers. You have to mamash pull out the shin and form the twin, shin and form. I don't know how they do it, because mamash ever, you take a tweezers or something, and pull it out. You can't just push back the background. So the higher quality tefillin have the shin formed properly. That the shin is formed by actually pulling it out rather than just pushing back the background. Again, so those are the two important differences in the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. One is in terms of the four batim, which is one bias, and one is in terms of the shin. In terms of all the other halachas, so they're pretty much the same. Both have to be made from Or Behema Tahora. They both have to be square. The Gemara says that Tefillin Ruvos are halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's not clear which part of the tefillin have to be square, so there are actually three different opinions in the Rishonim. What does that phrase mean, tefillin ruvos? Everyone agrees the tefillin has to be square, but there are three potential parts that can be square. One is the bias itself has to be square. One is that the tisura is the piece of animal skin on the bottom, the one that closes up the tefillin. If you didn't have a tisura, then your pashas would fall out. So you have to have a piece that's underneath it. So in the high quality tefillin, it's part of the same piece of the arechad. So that tisura has to be formed in such a way that it's square as well. And then the third group of Rishonim hold that the tefiras have to be square. There's Allah Mosh that you have to sew up the batim with tefiras of gidin, sinews from a kosher animal. So that stitching has to be square as well. So it's not clear from the Gemara what was that statement. Tefillin ruvos Allah Mosh Sina, was that going on the batim? Themselves have to be square. Was that going on the tisura? Was that going on the tefiras? So therefore, halacha ma'aseh, what do we do? All three. So therefore, any normal pair of tefillin with manazeh, any pair of tefillin today is going to have all three of them. We'll be very, very careful that the batim themselves remain square, and the tisura is square, and the tefiras are square. Sometimes it can go to the squareness can get thrown off a little bit. If a person drops the tefillin, gives a good smash to the tefillin, so then the dimensions may be off a little bit, so you have to get them fixed. You have to go back the way about the macher to reshape the tefillin a little bit. If for some reason the stitching got loose and now it's no longer looks square, so it has to be re-sewed up again, make it tight again, it has to be square. So the bottom line is you have to always make sure you don't have to look every single day. So unlikely anything's going to go wrong, but if the tefillin are being cared for properly and nothing crazy happens, then the squareness will remain square for quite some time. In addition to the dinim of tefillin ruvos halacha Moshe Sinai, the Gemara says that tisura is halacha Moshe Sinai. You have to have that bottom, and you have to have mavarta also halacha Moshe Sinai, both for the shayad and shayrosh. Mavarta means the place that's the back part of the bayis that the ritzua goes through, that little opening where the ritzua shoots through. Both of the shayad and shayrosh, that's also required halacha Moshe Sinai. You can't just say I'll just take a ritzua and just tie it around the bayis itself and just fast it in place. No. It has to have the mavarta in the back. So you have a lot of these halachas. You have to have square to halacha Moshe Sinai. It's got to be stitched to halacha Moshe Sinai. It's got to be mavarta to halacha Moshe Sinai. It's got to be tisura halacha Moshe Sinai. It's got to have any halacha Moshe Sinai. That's what the Rambam writes. That there are so many halacha Moshe Sinai. Tefillin has more halacha Moshe Sinai than any other mitzvah whatsoever. That's the way it is. Tefillin are very, very, very small reference in Tosh Mitzav, and Rubid is halacha Moshe Sinai. So all of these are ma'akim. That's what the Rambam writes. Whatever the Chazal describes as halacha Moshe Sinai, that's mamash ma'akim. For sure, that would pose a problem. So again, so we have the basic dinim of the ksivas parashas that we spoke about last week. We have the hanocha seder parashas we spoke a little bit about today. We have some of the things to be aware of in terms of the batim for the shayad and shirosh, similarities and differences. And the next component, next part of the tefillin is the ritzuos. So the ritzuos are also a great surprise. Halacha Moshe Sinai, you have to have ritzuos. The ritzuos have to come nachamo from kosher animal skins. The Gemara says that anything that's used for the sefetot for mezuzas, l'man tiyata shemeficha, l'hokshul l'mlecha shemayin l'or b'hem etar b'vad, everything has to be made out of kosher animal products. The Rishon Rebbe, whether that din carries over to other mitzvahs, like shofar and other things, but the Gabi Tefillin for sure it applies, everything has to be from kosher species. It doesn't have to be shechted, it can be nevels or treifas, nothing was in the favorish, but it has to be from a kosher animal skin. So one of the dinim of ritzuos, the important dinim of ritzuos for us is that the Gemara says that ritzuos shcharos ha-halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the ritzuos have to be black. You can't make metzulos green, purple, red. They have to be mamish black, and that's halacha Moshe Mesinai. So the lashon of the Gemara is that retzua shcher is halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara never says the batim. So there was a three-way question in the Rishonim. Therefore, what? So Tosfos quotes one opinion that says the Gemara doesn't say it and it doesn't exist. Everything's not necessary to prove it otherwise. So retzua shcher is halacha Moshe Mesinai, but the batim can be white. You don't have to paint the batim b'chlal. So Tosfos writes, well, some people used to mamish have white batim. They never bothered painting the batim. What do you have to paint it for? The Gemara says retzua shcher is halacha Moshe Mesinai. Very bundle looking forward. White bottom, it's clashes. White bottom with black and white. White bottom with like a Shiva Bacher is dressed. With black pants, white shirt. So white bottom with black pitsuos. So that's what the Tosfos calls one opinion. And the Rosh writes, let's fill in that. Ikaron, that opinion is right. But you shouldn't do it that way because it doesn't look well. It looks a little bit funny. So therefore, Mishum hit the mitzvah. You should have a black in the bottom also. And then there's the third group of Rishon who say, no, it's needed. Allah Moshe Sinai. I think Gemara doesn't say it. It's understood. It's Kavachimir. Madach, the Ritzuas needed. So Kavachimir, the bottom has to be black. So three different opinions la halacha. So Shulchan Aruch is making like the Rosh. That you only have to blacken your batim al tzidah mitzvah. And the Gra says, well, not so sure. Maybe it's really, really weak. Then it doesn't halacha mishina. So the Maisa, we try to make sure our ritzuos will show up to be black, and our batim we try to make black as well. So hopefully we'll talk a little bit more next week about some of the details in terms of play out, in terms of if the ritzuos start to scratch away, the batim start to lose their blackness, how do you repaint them, what has to be done, how can you do it, lishma, etc., b'kedusha. So hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that. We have to stop now.